right, what's up, everyone? Back with another Behind the Wheel podcast. As you guys can probably see, a little bit different. I'm here by myself this week. Your boy is going solo. I'm doing a solo podcast, and today I'm talking about my search for the perfect daily driver car. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this is because I feel like I have a little bit more insight than maybe some people. So if you don't know about me, in the last like 4 or 5 years, I have had five different cars in the last 4 to 5 years. And I've had other cars besides that, but basically a new one every single year for the last 5 years or so. And I just wanted to maybe talk about something when people are looking for new cars. I thought maybe I would share my opinions and insight on some things I've learned in the last 5 years of ownership of all these different cars. So I'm going to get right into it and just start talking. So as a person who lives in New York, we do get sometimes harsh winters. That's something to take in consideration. So typically I'm always looking for a front wheel drive or an all wheel drive platform. I'm not a truck guy. I like sedans, coupes, hatchbacks, not really whatever. So, I'll start with like in 2019, I had a 2012 Honda Civic Si that I owned for 6 years of ownership that I think I got in 2014. And I think I had until 2020. So that 2012 Si was a coupe, K24 engine. It was a fantastic car, 9th gen Civic. Really, really nice car. I loved driving it. It was fantastic, and I did a lot of stuff with it. I had it full tuned, bolt-on tune. It was tuned by Raphael from DRT Racing in Woodside, Queens. If anyone's familiar with Raffy, I think he's in Jersey now, but great guy. He tuned a whole bunch of Hondas. It was awesome. But the car was good, man. That was a good car. It made I think 212 to the wheels afterwards, and 200 stock, and it's like 180 to the wheels stock. So got some serious power out of this thing, and it was really good time. What was it? So those wheels there that you see, those are 17.7s, which is actually stock sizing on that wheel. So it is pretty sunken fitment. I had a rear camber kit because this car has had everything from 17s to 19s, from 7 wide to 10 wide. So that car has been through a ton of different setups. I went from a real stance look at one point, and then I kind of wanted to make it more functional eventually. That's not the best fitment that you see on that photo, but that's just one photo that I had available of that car. The Civic Si was like one of my first tuner cars that I actually kind of went, I went in with, and I did a whole bunch of modifications to it, and I had a lot of fun with that car, and I tried everything. I did a few sets of coilovers, tried out different ones, a whole bunch of different bolt-on parts, always swapping it out or whatever it may be. It was a really fun car. I learned a lot. It was fantastic. The thing was a beast. I still only got rid of it with like 85,000 miles on it or something like that. I think I bought it with 20,000 miles on it. So it had a good run for me, and it was really a great car to learn, my enthusiast roots with and whatever. My other friends had Hondas as well, so we were a big Honda group. We had some old Civic hatch. I had an old EG hatch as well, RSX Type S, Preludes, Integras. Those were things all my friends had. We used to tune those up and, have fun. But so eventually when I decided to start taking a different look for a new car, and I said maybe it's time for me to take again to a new platform, I was still looking for all-wheel drive or front-wheel drive, something like that, and I wanted to kind of move up to a little bit higher echelon of kind of power. I think a lot of people end up going to a WRX eventually. I didn't want to do that, so I was looking for something else. I did want the Civic Type R because that just came to the States in 2017, and it was really cool, and I wanted to move into the FKA platform, but can't afford it. So I wasn't able to afford it. So I started looking at some decent competitors, and that's when in 2018, the Hyundai Veloster N hit the market. And it's an awesome car, and it really caught my attention. I never thought I'd be in a Hyundai or a Kia ever in my life because that's just not really where my heart's at. But in 2020, I ended up picking up this 2020 Hyundai Veloster N. I bought it used with 1,500 miles on it, so it was basically brand new. I used this car for 1 year, and it was fantastic. If people are looking for a front-wheel drive fun car, these cars came out in 2018, and they stopped production in 2022. These cars are fantastic. I don't care what anyone says. The Elantra N has got a lot more attention and love. But this car, the Veloster, and Scott actually you know, makes jokes at me all the time about this car because he says I really love it or whatever. But I just don't think he knows a lot about this particular car. Not that it's incredible, but it is really fun. A lot of people are using these on track. This is the performance model, which they actually got rid of the base model in 2021. They got rid of the base model. So there was a lower horsepower model, but this is a 275 horse and it was like 285 torque or something like that. But it was a front wheel drive little pocket rocket and it was so fun. The N line from Hyundai, the guy who developed the N line is Albert Biermann, who's the guy who you know, basically created the M division in BMW, and Hyundai poached him and brought him over to the N division for them, and he's the ones design these cars. And this is the second car in the N line that they decided to make, and the first one that came to the United States. And it was fantastic. This car was so fun, but I had a very, when I had this car, I was driving into New York City every day, and I had a long commute. I did about 600 miles or more a week or so. And I had a really long commute and I would be working all the time or whatever it may be. So I ended up putting like 25,000 miles on this car in its first year of ownership. And I felt so bad. And I was like, man, I'm really beating this thing to death. And I had a throttle body issue at one point, couple cracked rims here and there because of, you know, New York City potholes. And I was like, maybe I just need a better commuter car. Like, it hurt me because this car was so fun. Enthusiast, it had active valve exhaust system, which was a freaking riot. You could change the exhaust system, push of a button on that car, you can get a nice little backfire, pops and burbles and whatever, and not the obnoxious BMW kind. It was really nice and it sounded really good for a four cylinder. So that car was really cool, really unique. It's asymmetrical design with the two doors on the passenger side and a single door on the driver's side. I know, which is unheard of. It's really weird. But it was actually pretty practical. That small little door on the back on the passenger side was actually pretty useful, I must say. It got an interior change in 2021, so they actually got a little bit nicer for the last 2 years of the existence of this car. But it was a hard decision. But since I put 25,000 miles in a year on the car, I was like, man, 4 years in ownership, I'm gonna hit 100,000 miles on this car, because I was still working in the city, and I thought I was going to continue to be working in the city. And I was like, man, after 4 years, it's going to have 100K on it. I'm like, this sucks. Like, I'm really going to beat this thing to death. So I decided to make the decision to find a more practical vehicle, just for highway commuting and stuff like that. And I love my hatchbacks. I've always been a hatchback guy. My hatchback love started with my GTI, which I had was a Mark V. That was before the Civic, but, I had that in like 2013 or something like that. But, but yeah, so I love my hatchbacks. My first car ever was a Mazda 3, and, I ended up going back to the Mazda 3 platform for the fourth generation Mazda 3. I actually traded in the Hyundai. The Hyundai I bought for $25,000 back in 2020, I bought it for $25,000 with 1,500 miles on it. So it was actually a really good deal. I ended up selling that car for $30,000 once the market started to go up. So I put 25,000 miles on that car and still sold it for $30,000. So I made some money on that car and I flipped it. And I ended up taking that money, not spending any money on it, and taking that money that I got for selling the car towards a 2021 Mazda 3. It was a front-wheel drive, naturally aspirated, Mazda 3. That's my car right there. That's the only photo I've ever taken of this car. I never took a photo on the day I bought it. That car was, it didn't mean too much to me. It was meant to be a commuter car. It was kind of like something I didn't want to do. I didn't want to get rid of the Hyundai, but this was more practical and it still looked good. It still had the hatchback. It was still a 6-speed. If you guys are familiar with the fourth generation Mazda 3, they have a all-wheel drive turbo automatic version. I opted for the front-wheel drive naturally aspirated because I prefer to have a standard gearbox. So that was my priorities with that. I'd rather row my own gears at a slower speed than have all-wheel drive turbo at a higher speed or whatever, automatic. But I had this car for 1 year. I traded in the Hyundai in in 2021. I had this car in 2021. And then I was still working in the city and I was commuting. It was a good commuter car. I had good gas mileage on the highway. It took regular fuel as opposed to premium, which was, you know, saving you a lot of money. And overall, the interior was nice. If you guys haven't checked out any new Mazdas, the interiors are pretty kind of luxury. What they're trying to do is they're trying to distinguish themselves a little bit more between like Honda and Toyota, which they can't necessarily compete with in terms of reliability and reputation. So they kind of went to like a pseudo luxury class where if you want a little bit of a more luxurious kind of commuter car or economy car, Mazda is trying to up their interior quality to kind of stand out over Honda and Toyota. And they did that because the interior of that car is beautiful. It was a red wine leather, and everything worked great on that car. It was really good. It was a little cramped, but that's what it is for a compact hatchback. But the Mazda 3. So I ended up having this car for 1 year, and I didn't particularly love it. It had like 185 horsepower, and it was still a 6-speed, and it was okay. And I liked it, and it was a really about the most basic car I've ever had. Nothing wrong with it at all to this day. I have no regrets buying it. I do miss the Hyundai quite a lot because it was a super fun car. But I actually ended up then moving out of the city, getting out of the city with my job. And I actually got the job here at Koenig. And this is a lot closer to where I live. And I have a short commute now going to work. So, of course, the car guy in me said, hey, let's get rid of the Mazda that I'm not thrilled about and get a new car. So last year, I ended up picking up a 2022 Subaru WRX, which at the time was a brand new car. My first new car that I've ever owned in my entire life. I bought it brand new, first owner, and that's my guy right there. I bought the thing brand new from a dealership in Connecticut. I went out of my way to go find the particular orange color because I liked that. That car had all the bells and whistles. It was a limited trim, which is the highest trim that you can get besides being the GT, which is a CVT transmission. So obviously I'm not getting a CVT. So I went with the limited trim, which is the second highest, and it comes with the better seats, the sunroof, the better sound system, etc. Same engine as the base model and the premium, but I opted for kind of just the extra shit because that's what I really wanted. But this car was great. So the Subaru, I put a ton of thought into, and when I was getting rid of the Mazda, I really finally wanted to get into a Honda Civic Type R. The GR Corolla was on the horizon of being released, and I was like, maybe I'll hold out for the GR Corolla. The Mark 7 Golf R's and the 7.5's and the 8 is out now. And those are three cars that are like my ideal cars that I would want. And I was really holding out for a Type R, GR Corolla, or a Golf R. And I was going through all these things. Even the Elantra N I was looking at, but I did not want to go back into a Hyundai. I wanted to get back into a JDM car. I don't know. But again, this was me looking at newer cars at the time. And the one thing I really realized when looking for all these cars was they're really expensive. Now that people understand and know the value of these hot hatches, which are super, they're really high-end performance cars with a economy commuter platform in them, being the Honda Civic, the Toyota Corolla, the Golf, and then having their super race trims. These are really desirable cars and they hold their value, and obviously people know about the whole markups that have been going on for the last year and a half. And then I was looking at these cars saying it's finally my time to get into one of these, and then I was trying to run some numbers and I'm like, man, these things are just too expensive to get. So I ended up going for a WRX, which was something I never had any interest in. I'm not a Subi guy. I've never owned a WRX, none of my friends have, and it's just never been my thing. But this car, after doing a whole bunch of research on it, it really is different than the previous generations and the EJ motors and stuff like that. People were saying on how this new car, despite the looks, it's very very refined and just a fantastic drive. And I'll tell you this, if you're considering like a do-it-all car, this car was so good. It was so good. The drive was the smoothest car I've ever had. It came with the factory STI short throw shifter, so I can't say on how the gearbox feels on the regular ones, but mine had a STI short throw shifter in it, and that was from the factory, and it's just so phenomenal how good this car was to drive. I mean, like butter, everything. The clutch was fantastic. The gearbox was fantastic. It was so smooth, and it had a good power band, but it wasn't overly powerful. This thing had like 270 horsepower all-wheel drive, definitely heavier. I would say the one con about this car by far is the fuel economy. For a four cylinder, you're getting, I was used to average 19 miles to a gallon, which is actually pathetic, on, you know, premium fuel, which kind of sucks. But besides that, the usability, the practicality, of course, the 1 year I owned this car, it never snowed in New York. So it's kind of hilarious that it was my first all-wheel drive car. And I didn't get to take it into the snow or whatever. I think I brought it up to the mountains once or twice in upstate New York and then Jersey. But yeah, never really got to bring it off. I did off-road once actually with it a little bit on some gravel and some trails or whatever. But never really in heavy snow or whatever. So, but it was a fantastic car. I did not have to get rid of it. But the truth of the matter is I was kind of bored with it. When I would push this car, it would do everything I wanted to do. It was stable at higher speeds or whatever it may be. But in the end of the day, I don't know what about it was. It was too refined for what it is. It didn't have like that raw driver feel, and everything was electronically assisted and et cetera. And it was just boring. You know, it was just boring. I mean, 270 horsepower in a kind of commuter compact car setup is not too exhilarating. And the WRX, at least the new one, I think it really feels like a sporty compact car than a compact sports car. Like, you know, that's just the way it felt to me. And then I was kind of just bored with it and whatever. So, within the last week or so, I put into more thought of always, the people know here that I'm always looking for a new car, and I kind of just, I don't know, I get bored. I don't know what the hell the problem is, but if you guys are car guys and you're listening to this, I think you understand what it's like, and, you know, you feel some type of way, and you want to try new things, and for me, it's a lot of fear of missing out. Like, there are some cars out there that I just, you know, it's like, man, if I don't try to get one now, I'll never have one. And if as long as it's not financially irresponsible, why the hell not is what I think. But so within the last week or so, I actually got rid of the Subaru. So the WRX is now gone. I've now picked up my fifth car in the last 5 years. And I currently picked up a 2004 Mazda Speed Miata, which is real different for me. And it's my first rear-wheel drive car that I've ever had. This thing is a freaking gem. I'll tell you that. So that's the car right there. It's in Velocity Red. And I found this thing in New Jersey at a classic car dealership, and it has 5,000 original miles on it. I paid up for it for what more people would normally pay for a Miata, but this thing is in fantastic condition. So that's my car right now, and I actually bought this car with the intention of also buying a daily. So this car is my only car at the moment, but I'm currently shopping for a daily. So I end up taking my higher value equity on my WRX and splitting it two ways. I branch it off into a fun weekend car, or, you know, kind of just fun car, which is a Miata. And I have a smaller budget now for a daily driver, which I've, you know, to be determined. But that's where I went with. So this is the moral of the story, and all this talking would be that I'm the type of guy that I'm basically a hot hatch guy. That's what I've always loved. I love my GTI. I've had the Mazda 3. I've had the Veloster N. You know, WRX, they had the hatchback version, so whatever. Mine was a sedan. But I love hot hatches. That's what I am. And the reason for it is because the practicality and the fun. You still get a sports car, but it's practical. It has back seats. It has usable space. You're not confined to a completely small body like this car here. And I've always wanted to do the, you know, do-it-all car, the one do-it-all car. And in my personal opinion, I still think to this day that probably the best do-it-all car is probably a Golf R or a Civic Type R. And, you know, I have not been able to experience either of those cars myself based on price alone. So if you were like me and those are two of the cars that you think are just so fantastic and whatever it may be, and you're not willing to pay up to the $40,000 price range on cars like that, This is why I decided it was a better choice. I took a smaller budget and I bought a super fun car, and it's a fantastic car. And it's actually probably my favorite car I've ever owned, because driving this thing is actually incredible. I understand why people say the thing of like the answer is always Miata or whatever it may be. But this has got to be the most fun car I've ever owned. There's 175 horsepower or something like that. And in a tiny little body like this, it's a riot to drive. It's so fun. you know, you can go to safe speeds on the road and still be kind of pushing the car and having a blast rather than having a very high horsepower car, powerful car, and you can't really use it to its full potential without breaking all the speed limits out there or, you know, probably endangering yourself and other people. This car, I'm rolling through gear. This is a Mazda Speed Miata, so it comes with a factory turbo. It's a 6-speed as opposed to a 5-speed, and you have to switch to the gears pretty often because it's a 6-speed and the gearing ratio is shorter. So I'm going down driving, you know, constantly shifting in this car on just side streets and, you know, 40 miles an hour or something. It's really fun, honestly. And I'm now in the market for a daily before winter hits here in New York. And I'm going to probably limit my budget to, you know, something small, nothing too crazy. But yeah, the moral of my story is that as a person who's always looked for that perfect do-it-all car, unless you're willing to pay up or whatever it may be, my moral is that maybe there isn't a clear-cut do-it-all car, and sometimes you might just need a different, you know, two cars for two different reasons, you know? It's hard to justify having two cars because it seems very unnecessary and spoiled or whatever it may be, but yeah, I mean, you know, my answer for that is that this was not financially irresponsible of myself to do. It might be inconvenient because I have to find a place to keep the Miata during the winter, but that's my problem. And right now, I'll tell you this, it's really fun and I have no regrets. I don't miss the Subaru, really. I really don't. It was a great car and I would recommend it to almost anyone out there. But I'm so excited to be searching for a daily driver and being able to use this car whenever I want or whenever the weather, you know, is fit for it. So that's my experience in the last 5 years with all these different cars. And yeah, so, you know, if you guys are searching for a car right now, let me know what you think. That's mine. I've had all these different cars in the past, and I'll tell you this, I think the happiest I've been in terms of like making a right decision and not, and you know, there's a level of greed with all this stuff. So like, you know, if you have a FK8 Civic Type R, when the FL5 comes out, you might go, wow, that car is better in, you know, numerous ways. Let me trade up and eventually get the new one. And you're always going to want the next thing, the newer thing, the better thing. The Integra Type S comes out. Wow, that's just a Type R, but higher luxury stuff. Like, maybe I'll get that. You're just never going to be happy, it seems like. And there's always going to be something newer and better. So, you know, right now what I've done is just kind of went older, something that won't be made ever again. Then they're not going to make any more Mazda Speed Miatas, and I don't think anyone can deny you that it's a fun car and didn't cost me too much. I'm going to get myself a daily driver and I'm going to be happy. I don't know, that's my conclusion to all this, that I didn't find myself in the perfect everyday car. Over all these years and all these different cars I've had, I never found myself in the perfect everyday car, the do-it-all car, the one car for everything. It didn't happen for me. And my conclusion was, I think that maybe doing the two cars is, there's a reason why people have weekend cars and stuff like that. The practicality level, the convenience level, and the fun level are there when you do it this way. So I don't know, it's just me, guys. Let me know what you think, and if you have any questions, feel free to, you know, drop a comment, ask below. We do Instagram Live every single Wednesday at 2 p.m. and we have a piece of content coming out on our YouTube channel on Fridays. Be sure to like and subscribe, and that's about it for me, guys. Take care.